So this is the first. My voice is cracking now, but I did get them, so. I don't know how long it will survive. So, I came to this place last year. And I must say, they constructed me right now to be quiet. So, Krishna gave me this nice house. Use it for preaching. You should have regular Namahat programs. Invite your friends. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji encouraged us to preach. He said, if there's no one to preach to, then preach the world. And it's very appropriate that we started this our first satsang here with Guru Puja Krishna Prabhupada. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted 500 years ago that a holy name would be chanted in every corner of the globe. And after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his close associates, our philosophy gradually got distorted and twisted. And then it was Thakur Bhakti Vinod who re-established the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thakur Bhakti Vinod is described as the mercy incarnation of the Lord. And he appeared in a very aristocratic family. He was very well educated and he was occupying the position of a district magistrate. And this was during the British rule. And during the British rule, the Indians were not given big responsibility. And this was the highest position an Indian could hold. So during his regime, during his tenure, as a district magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur corrected the discrepancies in the Jagannath Puri temple. At that time, there was a bogus yogi who was claiming to be that he is Krishna. He was flirting with people's daughters, wives, sisters, and many people were complaining to the British government. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, this man was claiming that he was an incarnation of the Lord. The Thakur Bhakti Vinod knew this man was not an incarnation. So he went with his policeman, with the magistrate, to deep in the forest where Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where this bogus Mahavishnu was residing. This bogus Mahavishnu had some mystic powers. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed up at his residence, he said, Tidana Zata, I know why you're here. You don't know who I am. I'm Mahavishnu. And I'm here to drive the Britishers out of India. And when the Britishers are driven out, then I'll make you the governor. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you're Mahavishnu, what are you doing in that forest? You should be in the Jagannath temple sitting next to Lord Jagannath. And the bogus yogi said, that statue of wood? Jagannath? That's God? That's not God. I'm God. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur told his policeman, arrest this man. He was a magistrate. But this man was so powerful that none of the policemen had the guts to arrest him. They were all so scared. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur insisted that he be arrested. He was arrested is brought in the prison in Jagannath Puri. And after his arrest, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's whole family, a lot of babies here, after his arrest, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's entire family fell sick. His wife fell sick, his children fell sick, and the whole town was talking. Bhakti, you know, that's committed a big blunder. He's arrested Mahavishnu. This is a reaction. His wife was on his deathbed. His 10 children were all sick. And they were all pleading with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, release this man, release this man. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was convinced that this man was bogus. He refused to release him. On the day Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to write the judgment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate serving as a judge during the British rule. And he was so sharp, so fast, that it is said that he would dispose of a case in a fraction of the time that even the British judges would take. And as a result, the judges and the lawyers became were envious of him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to write the judge. There was a trial. And during the trial, these bogus impostors, followers, would come in front of the court and shout, release him, release our God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was unbending. On the day Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to write the judgment, his whole right side got paralyzed. He could not move his hand. Can we turn off this fan? He could not move his hand. He could not move his legs. These days, of course, you have dictaphones, you can just dictate. But those days, there were no dictaphones. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was determined to write. For a few hours, he couldn't even move his fingers. He couldn't move his legs. His whole right side was paralyzed. This man had mystic powers. But finally, he was determined. And he wrote the judgment. He wrote the judgment, sentencing this man. And as this bogus yogi was being taken out of the court, a British law lawyer who had read that these bogus yogis get their mystic power from the Sikha long hair, they cut his hair, and this man instantly died. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he re-established the pure teachings of the Lord. And he had prayed to the Lord that please may the Lord send someone who can carry out this movement after him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a magistrate. He wrote nearly 100 books in English, Oriya and Bengali. Most of the songs that we sing were composed by Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And he laid the foundation for the Krishna conscious movement. Prabhupada on many occasions said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is virtually the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. And he had prayed that, please may the Lord send someone who can carry on the movement after him. So that was Bhakti Siddhantaji, who appeared as Bimal Prasad. Because he was a magistrate, the chariot, the Rath Yatra, used to stand in front of the magistrate's house. And once Bimal Prasad's mother took advantage of the Rath standing in front of her house, and she went and placed the baby, Bhakti Siddhanta, was a young newborn baby, at the lotus feet of the Lord. And when she kept him there, a garland from Lord Jagannath fell on the baby. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took this as a very positive sign. And also when he was born, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like a Brahmin thread. Bhaktivinoda Thakur trained Bhakti Bimal Prasad in the science of devotional service from a young age. He taught him that everything you eat must be first offered to the Lord. On one occasion, when Bimal Prasad was only 4 or 5 years of age, he ate a mango without offering it to the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he discovered that he ate a mango without offering it to the Lord, she very politely corrected him. Bhakti Siddhantaji took it so seriously that he never ate a mango all his life. Whenever his disciples would say, offer him some mango, he would say, I have offended when I was young. So he never ate a mango. Bhaktivinoda Thakur established the true teachings. And he also established that one becomes a Brahmin or Kshatriya or Vaishya, not on the basis of birth, but on the basis of guna. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was a very prominent astronomer, very well educated. Even today, if you read his Brahma Samhita commentary, if you to read every line, you'll have to consult the dictionary once or twice. And he founded the Gaudiya Math. He identified places where Lord Chaitanya had performed his pastimes. He used to preach like a lion. It is said that when he would be walking on the road, if he was walking on the left side, the impersonal would cross over to the right side. He used to preach like a lion. He started these exhibitions around the world. Once when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was ill, he was invited to address an assembly of brahmanas in Calcutta. Since Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sick, he sent his son, Bimal Prasad, to go and give the speech. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji first started his speech by glorifying the position of brahmanas. The brahmanas are compared to the head of the body. Just like in a body, you must have a head. There must be brahmanas in society. But they should be genuine brahmanas. Not that I wear a 2 paisa brahmin thread and I claim that I'm a brahmana. And one should have the qualifications of a brahmana also. And brahmanas are meant to guide society on the path of perfection. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Ji quoted verses where the brahmanas are glorified. And then he went, so when he was glorifying the brahmanas were very, very happy. But then he started pointing out, using slokas to establish that one becomes a brahmana, not on the basis of birth, but on the basis of guna. This greatly angered the brahmana. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was very forcefully preaching. In fact, at one time it is said, the brahmanas even conspired to kill him because he was very publicly making it clear that one becomes a brahman on the basis of qualification. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji started many printing presses. Once, when Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was leading on a Braj Mandal Parikram with thousands of disciples, Prabhupada met him at Radhakund. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati drew a picture of a mridanga and told Prabhupada, if Krishna ever gives you any facilities, use it to print and distribute books. And what did he call this service? The Brihad Mridanga. Brihad means loud mridanga. Why is it called the Brihad mridanga? In ordinary mridanga, the voice can only travel to a point. Even if you have the best sound system, it is a limit to how far it can travel. But a book distributed in Atlanta could be read thousands of miles away. I know a story where there was a Russian ship that pulled into Sydney, Australia. So, you know, when the ship pulls in, the sailors all go out. So one of the sailors went out and he met a Hare Krishna devotee who sold him one of the books. He started reading that book and then a ship sailed from Australia to England. And during the journey, he was reading their books. He got so inspired in London. First thing he did was to go to the Hare Krishna temple. He bought some more books. And by the time the ship reached his destination in Moscow, he decided to become a devotee. So this was a book that was distributed in Sydney, and the effect was thousands of miles away. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji emphasized this. He started printing presses. He would send his disciples to preach. So it was in 1921, Prabhupada appeared in 1896 on the planet. And 1896 was also the year that the printing industry finally developed. The printing industry, as some of you may know, first developed in England. And it came to India around 1880-1885. So in 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book on the life and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he sent it to universities around the world. And this was the year that Prabhupada appeared. Prabhupada appeared in a very God-conscious family. His father was Gaur Monde, who was a Vaishnava of the highest order. Prabhupada dedicates the Krishna book to his father and says, he planted in me the seed of devotional service. So Gaur Monde had a great desire that his son would become a very active devotee of the Lord. He was very fond of hosting sages, and many sadhus would regularly come and stay in Gaur Monde's house. So, and when these sadhus would be leaving, Gaur Monde would just request them, please bless my son that he may become a great devotee of Radharani. And Prabhupada's mother, her thinking was, my son should go and study in England and become a big man in the mature world. So, and when Prabhupada was young, he would organize the Rath Yatras. He would be constantly inquiring, when is the next train going to Vrindavan? When is the next train going to Jagannath Puri? And he started organizing the Rath Yatras for children. So it was in 1921 when a friend of Prabhupada told him, there's a very prominent sadhu in Calcutta. I want you to come and meet him. Prabhupada said, I have met many sadhus. I have not been so impressed by them. So I don't want to meet. But this friend, but this sadhu is different. He's not like the others. And in Prabhupada's own words, he virtually dragged me to meet Bhakti Sarada. So Prabhupada, he met Bhakti Sananda Ji in Calcutta. And in the very first meeting, Bhakti Sananda Ji could see that here is a young man who will take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western countries. Before Bhakti Sananda Ji met Prabhupada, Bhakti Sananda Ji had sent 4 or 5 of his sannyasi disciples to England to establish Krishna consciousness. But they all came back without much success. There was one of these sannyasis who went to England and he met a lord. You know what's a lord? In the British system, there's a House of Lords and a House of Commons. This is those connected to the royal family are given the title of Lord. So one of Prabhupada's godbrothers met one of these lords, and the lord said, "Can you make me a Brahmin?" So this godbrother said, "Yes, but to be a Brahmin," they said, "what do you have to do? Follow these rules." Then he said, no, "I don't want to be a Brahmin." So many godbrothers have gone and they came back from the West without much success. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were also thinking, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has predicted the holy name will be chanted in every town and village of the world. But it appears that Kali Yuga has made rapid progress and it's not going to happen. But Bhakti Siddhanta Ji knew fully well, it will happen. He never gave up. And when he saw Prabhupada the first time, Krishna inspired Bhakti Siddhanta Ji to realize that he is a young man who will carry out Lord Chaitanya's order. So in 1921, in the first meeting, Prabhupada received this instruction: "You're an educated young man, take Lord Chaitanya's movement to the Western countries." At that time, Prabhupada was a student of Scottish College. In Calcutta in those days, Scottish College was the most prominent college. The professors would also all come from Scotland. And Prabhupada was at that time an active leader of Mahatma Gandhi's freedom struggle. So when Bhakti Siddhanta Ji first told him, "You're an educated young man, take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western countries," Prabhupada said, "But first we should make a country independent. And then when it becomes independent, then people will hear our message." But then Bhakti Siddhanta Ji said, "What is real independence? Real independence is becoming free from the cycle of birth and death. That's real independence." Prabhupada said, Prabhupada used to always debate and he was never defeated. But Prabhupada said, "This is the first time I was defeated." So we planted in him that seed that later on grew. So Prabhupada started his translation work in 1944. He established the Bhakti Godhead magazine. The Bhakti Godhead magazine, and in that it was like a newspaper. And he would publish articles. He would take on current topics and analyze them from a spiritual angle. And Prabhupada was all along thinking, how can I fulfill Bhakti Siddhanta Ji's order? Prabhupada dedicates the first canto of the Bhagavatam to his spiritual master, and he says, "He lives forever by divine instructions, and the follower is with him." 1951, Prabhupada took sannyas. And Prabhupada was constantly thinking how he can fulfill Bhakti Sinanaji's instructions. He was residing at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. And prior to that, Prabhupada established the League of Devotees in Jhansi. He tried everything that he could think of. He was a great visionary. He wrote articles at that time indicating that only time is separating and gradually there'll be Krishna temples all over the world. And then Prabhupada came to reside at Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was translating his books at Radha Damodar temple. He had one old typewriter in which he would type. And he would go from Vrindavan to Mathura by rickshaw or tanga, you know, chariot drawn by horses. Travel from Mathura to Delhi in third class compartment. And then go and collect donations for printing his books. He was doing the translation work in Vrindavan, coming to Delhi to collect donations. Then he would go and buy paper for printing. Then he would take the paper to a printing press where he would print. And in Delhi, there's an area called Chandni Chowk. And in that area, there was a temple which was Prabhupada's residence and where Prabhupada translated the first canto of the Bhagavatam. We finally, a month ago, took charge of that temple. So Prabhupada, this is how he started his printing. At that time, Lal Bahadur Shastri was the Prime Minister of India. So Prabhupada also presented him the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would go and distribute the books himself also. Once Prabhupada was distributing the books in Connaught Place in Delhi. And it was an extremely hot day. Yeah, he almost had a sunstroke. But as soon as he came to consciousness, he resumed his preaching again. So Prabhupada was constantly endeavoring to fulfill his guru's order. And he was meditating, how can I go to the West? And on a solar eclipse, he went to Kurukshetra. Since time immemorial, in solar eclipse, all the great sages go to Kurukshetra. When Krishna was on the planet and Krishna had gone to Dwarka, the gopis of Braj were very unhappy for the gopis to live even for a fraction of a second without the Lord was unbearable. The gopis were angry at Lord Brahma. You know why? Where the eyes blink. And when they blink, they can't see Krishna. So they were angry at the Creator. Why did He make the eyes in such a way that they have to blink? If they didn't have to blink, we could see Krishna without any interruption. So Krishna was in Dwarka, and there was solar eclipse. So Krishna came from Dwarka to Kurukshetra. Radharani and the gopis were in Vrindavan. They had information that Krishna was coming to Kurukshetra. So Radharani and the gopis all rushed in chariots to Kurukshetra. And in Kurukshetra, on the occasion of solar eclipse, Radharani and the gopis saw Krishna. They were pleased to see Krishna, but they were unhappy to see him dressed as a king. And in Dwarka, the Lord was dressed up as a king. He had 16,108 palaces. So they were not happy to see the Lord dressed as a king. They were used to seeing the Lord as a simple cowherd's boy. So Radharani and the gopis pleaded with the Lord. They said, "We're happy to see you, but we don't want to see you dressed as a king in Kurukshetra. We want to see you as a simple cowherd boy in Vrindavan." So Kurukshetra Yatra usually symbolizes the theme that Krishna has been carried from Kurukshetra through Vrindavan. At the point where you start the Rath Yatra, your meditation should be, we are in Kurukshetra Dham, and we are headed for Vrindavan. And when the Rath Yatra ends, then your realization should be, we have reached Vrindavan. So on the occasion of solar eclipse, actually, you know the story of Lord Jagannath appeared? Yeah, it's a long story. I never told you. Well, there were thousands of years ago, there was a king called King, and it's a long story. So, a thousand of years ago, there was a king called King in Dumna. This king was very pure. He had no attraction to material things. Day and night his meditation was just Krishna. And then once, Brahmana came into the palace of the king and said, "O king, I have information for you. The Lord has manifested himself as Nila Madhav." This is a self-manifested deity of the Lord. And it's so beautiful that if you see it even once, your heart will be very happy. So, but he didn't say where this deity is, where the deity can be found. So, the king sent his soldiers and brahmanas to every corner of the planet to look for Nila Madhav. They all came back saying, "We couldn't find Nila Madhav, we have no trace of it, no knowledge where it is." One brahmana did not come back, and his name was Vidyapati. He went on staying, and he stayed in the forest, and there he got in touch with another devotee of the Lord, but who was not a brahmana, called Vishwasu. And this Vishwasu was secretly worshipping a deity called Nila Madhav. This Vishwasu had a daughter whose name was Lalita. And Vidyapati saw, even though she's born in a low-class family, her father was from a family that normally took care of pigs. But he was a great devotee of the Lord. So he got attracted to the daughter, and they eventually got married. So Vidyapati saw that every day, or every second day, the father, Vishwasu, goes away deep in the forest and doesn't come back the whole night. And when he comes back, his body is so perfumed that it looks as if he's coming from heaven. So he was very curious. Where did your father go? How did he get all this fragrance in his body? So first Lalita would not tell him. Well, his father had told her, "Don't tell anyone that I'm worshipping Nila Madhav." But then he said, "After all, I'm your husband, let me know." So then she said, "Deep in the forest, the self-manifested deity of the Lord called Nila Madhav, and my father goes there and worships that deity in the forest. Nobody on the planet knows where the deity is." So Vidyapati, when he heard about Neel Madhav, he was in ecstasy. After all, this is what he came to search for, Neel Madhav. So he asked his wife if he could go and have darshan of Neel Madhav. The wife said, "No, my father would never allow you." But then she pleaded, and the father said, "Okay, I'll take Vidyapati, but on one condition, I will blindfold his eyes. So he won't know how to reach there. And when we reach there, I'll open the bandit. So Vidyapati and his wife made a nice plan. She gave her husband a packet of mustard seeds. And all along the route, he was throwing the mustard seeds so that later on they could track how to reach there. And when he reached there, he saw this deity of Neel Madhav was really very attractive. And a few pastimes that take place here, but so finally, Vidyapati came back and he informed the king, "I found Neel Madhav, I found Neel Madhav." So the king was very pleased. He took his whole army and they came to the location where Neel Madhav was located. When they came to the location, Neel Madhav wasn't there. Gone. And the king was very upset. He said, "What is this? Where is Neel Madhav? Has Bhishmasu hidden him? Arrest him." But Bhishmasu said, "I don't know where Neel Madhav is. I myself am looking at him. I'm surprised." Then there was a divine voice that said, the Lord said, "I am now unmanifested. I will manifest myself as Daru Brahma." Daru Brahma means in wooden form. And they will be a log of wood floating at that river on which would be the signs that are normally visible at the lotus feet of Vishnu. So the king then returned to that location and there he saw the log of wood was really floating. So the king told his army, "Lift this log of wood." But none of them could lift it. They could not move the log of wood even by an inch. It was so heavy. And then the king began to lament, "Oh, I'm so unfortunate. Now I found the log of wood, but we can't even lift it." Then there was a divine voice that said, "Hey king, bring Vidyapati and Bhishmasu, my two devotees. Then I will be carried, then I can be carried." So then Vidyapati and Bhishmasu were brought and they helped carry the log of wood to the palace. The log of wood was there and a form of the Lord had to be carved. So many sculptors were invited. And each of these sculptors, as soon as they would use their instruments for making the devi, the instruments would break. So the king was again very, very sad. Then Vishwakarma, the sculptor who designs the palaces of the demigods, he came disguised as a sculptor. He said, "I will make a form of the Lord, but on one condition, I should not be interrupted at all, and I will take 21 days. So then, Vishwakarma started making a form of the Lord, and Vishwakarma said, "No one should come in and disturb me." So the king was outside the door, hearing tick, 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 tick. And to him this was like kirtan, because he knew the form of the Lord is being carved. And have you all seen our Hare Krishna temple in Bombay?
Yes.
So when the Bombay temple was being built, Prabhupada was in his fifth floor quarters. And I said the workers were chopping on stones, tick, tick, tick. Prabhupada said, this is kirtan, because the house of the Lord was being built. So, for 15 days this tick, tick, tick was going on. Then it stopped. And the king got disturbed. What was in anxiety? What happened? There is no noise coming. Is Vishwakarma alive or dead? And his wife Gundicha said, we didn't feed him anything, we didn't give him any water drink, maybe he's dead. So the king was perplexed what to do. Well, Vishwakarma said, if you come in before 21 days, then I'm going to leave and go away. So the prime ministers, the ministers' kings said, the king's ministers said, no, we should not go in, because then Vishwakarma will go away. But the wife insisted. So the king finally went in. And he went in and he saw this form of Jagannath Swada Balaram that you see. Jagannath Swada Balaram ki. This, if you look at the form initially, it looks unfinished. But, so the king was lamenting, I prematurely interrupted the meditation of the sculptor. So now this form is unfinished. But then Narada Muni showed up and said, now this is authentic and this is how the Lord will be worshipped in Kali Yuga. So that is in a nutshell. The story is a little longer, but I give you a nutshell. So Prabhupada also on the occasion of solar eclipse in Kurukshetra, he met this lady, Srimati Maharaji, and Prabhupada was looking for a passage to America. And when she met Prabhupada, she saw he was a saintly person. She said, please come to Bombay. And when she met Prabhupada the first time, she said, where are you going to go at this old age, 70 years old? You better stay here and recite the Bhagavatam for me. She was a pious lady, Srimati Maharaji. She said, recite the Bhagavatam to me. But Prabhupada was determined, and determined to carry out his Guru's order. And finally, with great effort, those days, to get out of India was not an easy job. You had to get so many permissions. Prabhupada needed someone to sponsor him. So there was one Mr. Agarwal, an elderly man in Mathura that Prabhupada had met. He said, oh, my son lives in America. I'll get a letter of sponsorship for him. So he got a letter of sponsorship from his son. In fact, his son had an American wife and she went to our New Vrindavan temple last week. So Prabhupada got his visa for America on the strength of this invitation. And then, those days, there were very complicated procedures for getting visa. You had to have a P form clearance. So, the P form was not being cleared. The clerk said in the state bank, Swamiji, we cannot let you go because Reserve Bank is not clearing your P form. There was some complication. So Prabhupada said, I want to go and see the manager. So Prabhupada then went to see the manager. As soon as Prabhupada walked in the manager's house, office, he said, Swamiji, your work is done. So then finally Prabhupada got his visa. And then, as you know, he sailed for America with how many rupees? 40 rupees in his pocket. And on his journey to America, the captain of the ship was an individual known as Pandey, Captain Pandey. And his wife was a palmist. So she saw Prabhupada's palm. And she said, yes, your mission will be successful. And prior to that, an astrologer met Prabhupada in Mayapur and said, you will build a house in which the whole world will be able to live. So, on the end, the Captain Pandey said, he had been sailing for 20, 30 years. He said, we've never seen the ocean as smooth as on this trip. And he told Prabhupada, you should come with me on every trip. Because, so on the way, Prabhupada had two heart attacks. And when he had the second heart attack, Prabhupada thought his mission will not be successful. And he thought, I should go to the West and I'll come back right to India. So Prabhupada was a little discouraged. But that very night, he had a dream in which Krishna was rowing the boat and Prabhupada was the passenger. And Krishna said, don't worry, your mission will be successful. And then finally, Prabhupada landed in Boston. When he landed in Boston, he went on shore in America for the first time, and he saw the environment, the mentality of the individuals, and Prabhupada said, who is going to listen to Lord Chaitanya's message here? People are so addicted in sense enjoyment. And then he wrote a very beautiful poem. Prabhupada's another name was Kavi. He used to regularly write poems. So in the Gaudiya Vaishnava circles, he was known as Kavi. And then Prabhupada wrote a poem in which he said, my dear Lord, you brought me here, but who is going to listen to your message? But by Srimati Radharani's mercy, anything is possible. And then Prabhupada came to Butler, then he came to New York, and for 1 year he was struggling in New York. There was one Dr. Misra, who had an ashram in New York, upstate New York. So Prabhupada lived. He had no place to live. He left India with 40 rupees, and at that time it was 5 rupees to a dollar. So he left India with $8 in his pocket. When he left Calcutta, no one was there to wish him bye-bye. And when he landed in America, no one was there to receive him. But he was determined. His first residential stop was in Mr. Agarwal's house. I believe it was Butler, Pennsylvania. And then Prabhupada headed for New York. And Dr. Mishra saw that Prabhupada speaking too much of the absolute truth. So then they finally told Prabhupada, Swamiji, you're too smart for us. Maybe you should relocate from here. And then Prabhupada was staying in New York in a loft. You know what's a loft? A loft is more like a warehouse. So he was staying in a loft, and the owner of the loft was a drug addict. So Prabhupada was staying in the loft and going to preach. He had no temples, nothing. He would go to a park called Tompkins Square Park. I was there at the Tompkins Square Park last year, right below the tree where Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement. Some devotee inspired the government. Now there's a plaque there. And the plaque says, this is where the Hare Krishna movement was founded from. And it said, so Prabhupada would regularly go into a kirtan there. And so that's how we started the Hare Krishna movement. Then the first, and when he was staying in the loft, this drug addict came at 1 o'clock in the night or 12 in the night to attack Prabhupada. So Prabhupada had to pack his bags, take his two suitcases and come out on the streets of New York at 1 o'clock in the night. So he struggled a lot, and his only goal was to present the true teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he, Prabhupada, was the instrument that executed and realized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that the holy name will be chanted in every town and village of the world. So we are all very fortunate in that we've come in contact with Prabhupada's Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada gave us the real message as it is, without any distortion. Many times people would say, why is this Bhagavad Gita called as it is? In a brief span, he circled the world 14 times. He wrote nearly 100 books and wrote thousands of letters, darshans, etc. And Prabhupada gave us the mantra to conquer Kali Yuga. Chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, associate with devotees, and eat only Krishna Prasad. So we should dedicate ourselves to these teachings. We can see in material life there's nothing but misery. You know, the power of Maya is so strong, it makes you believe, now where's the misery? Ah, look at those young girls and boys. Look at those nice. And Madison Avenue does a great job in America. Makes everything look beautiful. They bring a new model of cars every year. New clothes. They bring out these new designs every year, you know, these fashion designers. What do they do? Move the button from right to left. And it becomes the latest design. So everyone thinks you keep experiencing new things in life. But actually it is, as Prahlad Maharaj says, punas punas charvata charvananam, simply chewing the chewed. So let us not simply chew the chewed. We have this Krishna conscious platform. We should chant Hare Krishna sincerely, read the books, associate with devotees, and at the same time endeavor to preach the glories of the Lord. The whole world is bereft of Krishna consciousness, and hence everyone is suffering. And so we should not be selfish. Take to Krishna consciousness, give it to others. And Krishna says, of all the devotees, who is dear most to me? The one who preaches my glories. So please take the Krishna consciousness seriously. And Ajit Krishna Prabhu, Krishna has given you this nice house. So please have satsangs, call the Vaishnavas. Sometimes, you know, people say, I have these problems. Who's going to cook prasad? And we'll have to wash the pots, clean the floors. But Prabhupada said, wherever the Lord is glorified, Krishna is there. Once the devotees in New York had arranged a big program for Prabhupada in a New York stadium or big hall in New York, they told Prabhupada, a lot of people are going to come, the whole hall is going to be packed, and they did a lot of publicity. But not many people came. Prabhupada came, gave the lecture, but there was a very small crowd. So devotees were very apologetic. They were apologizing to Prabhupada. We invited you, we told you so many people would come, but only a few people showed up. So Prabhupada said, no, nothing was lost. We had kirtan, we had lecture. Krishna was there, Radharani was there, all the demigods were there, all the sages were there, nothing was lost. Once Prabhupada was in Australia, and a journalist told him, if your Krishna consciousness is so perfect, why isn't this hall fully packed? So Prabhupada said, when you're selling diamonds, only few will buy. When you're selling broken cut glass, thousand fools will buy. So Krishna consciousness is a diamond. Even during Prabhupada's time, we never had thousands of people gate crashing. Even none now. But our main business is to present the pure path. And with Prabhupada's mercy, now there are centers, nearly 700 centers around the world. There's not a single country in the world where Krishna consciousness is not being presented. Prabhupada's books have been translated in more than 70 languages of the world. And so we should study these books. These books are being used in over 4,000 universities around the world as reference books, or course books, and read the Bhagavad Gita, chant, and perfect our lives. Hare Krishna. Okay. This was like a proper night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baba, do you want to say a few words? Yeah, I have to go. It's 9:30 nearly. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, and I'm not just saying that the program should only be in Ajit Krishna's house. Krishna has blessed all of you with residences. Beautiful. I tell the devotees in North America that all of you are living like kings over here. I work in Africa, I work a lot in Russia, I work in most parts of the world. The devotees don't have the facilities that you have in North America. America, Canada, all our devotees have big houses. Just a question of who has what extra room. But they all have very good facilities. So we should not be miserly, not just use the nice facility. If you use the nice facility just for your comfortable living, then we are just like the other Hindus. But if you use the nice facility to broadcast the glories of the Lord, then that residence becomes a temple. So then Krishna says, this man has earned the money, he's using it to glorify me, my message. So that's what we should be doing. Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay. We can stop now? It's 9:30. Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful lecture and for giving us some insight on how to master the golden rule.